All right. Well, good morning, church. Watch this video to get started. Should I do it now? I'll do it now. Listen, actually. It's not really a video. It's more of an audio. I borrowed this from Jack Hibbs.
When they sought the Lord, when they served the Lord, God prospered them. They had power and victory over their enemies. They lived in a period of strength and power. When they forsook the Lord, then God would forsake them. They would go into captivity. They would be sacked by their enemies. And so it was a thing where God said it, and then we see the examples of it in the succeeding history of Israel. When Joshua took over from Moses, the Lord said to Joshua that he should continue in the law, meditate in it day and night, and thus shalt thou make thy way prosperous, thus shalt thou have good success. Follow the history of Israel from then on. Whenever they kept the law of the Lord, whenever they were obedient to God, whenever there was spiritual revival, it was also marked by spiritual national strength.
There you go.
That is not coincidence. That is just the way things work. And when they forsook the Lord and turned to idols and turned their backs upon God, then they were defeated by their enemy. This is what God said would happen. Read Deuteronomy chapter 32. And as Israel, so the United States. As long as we seek the Lord and as long as we put God at the front, our nation will prosper and be blessed. But when we turn our backs upon God, we can expect that the nation is going to go downhill. And we can see the downhill plunge of the nation today. We can see the economic chaos. No one really knows what's going to happen to the stock market. No one really knows what's going to happen to the banking industry. No one really knows if we're going to have another crash. No one really knows what's going to come of this summit meeting with Russia. Are we going to make another treaty with Russia that will turn out in history to be a detriment to us? Are we going to be giving away more than we get once again? It seems like the United States is just on a course that spells peril, and in the same ratio that we have forsaken the Lord and trying to shove God out of the national life. So we see the nation going down. We see the horrible social evils that we aren't able to cope with. We see drug abuse at a tremendous peak. We see pornography and all the side effects. We see children running away from home, 14, 15 years old, becoming prostitutes, becoming drug addicts. We see teenage suicide, 1.5 million kids attempting suicide every year because what is there to live for? We see our nation unable to cope with the financial aspects, and we see a $1 trillion deficit. And we see deficit spending and by the government. We see all of these ills, and yet somehow we can't associate it to the fact that we've tried to rule God out of the national life. But they go together. What the nation needs is a spiritual revival, and with a spiritual revival would again come the strengthening of God and the prosperity of God.
Okay, that's from 1988. They had a $1 trillion deficit in 1988. That's not even the interest payment on our deficit today. And just in case you were wondering, we will never recover from that. We're at a point, as far as our deficit is concerned, that there is no recovery. If you think there's a recovery, you're, I don't know, fooling yourself. But we are a nation that's turned its back on God. We shouldn't be too surprised about where we are because of it. We're going to read Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. This is how we should be is this how we are. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, that your words be spoken today. We have a lot to go over. We have a lot to speak out, Lord, a lot that you've put on my heart and into this message. Some of it's a very tough subjects, very emotional subjects, but has to be said, needs to be talked about, and I thank you, Lord, for this, and I pray that your spirit speak it to us, Lord, to speak it to our hearts and our minds, and I pray that we're open, Lord, to the message, and that we will trust God and obey God. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. It's possible this message may make you uncomfortable, but I've already warned you, truth isn't concerned about your comfort. As I said last Sunday, there's no gray area anymore, it's just black and white, and today we're going to talk about why. I said last week was the setup, this week is the payoff. This upcoming election is a matter of life and death, it's not hyperbole. John Adams said that our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And our nation may have started out that way. And if we look at the writings of the early, you know, fathers of our nation who helped create and draft the Constitution and create the laws, it would surely seem that it was created that way. They seem to understand that more than we do today. But today, our government, our current administration specifically, today is just a government of any other. It's not a moral or religious people. I'm not saying there aren't moral or religious people within it, but on a whole. And it's not just our government, it's our nation as a whole. We are no longer a nation under God. We are in, as I said last week, Romans 1 territory. Romans 1, 28 to 32 says this, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. And though they knew God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. That is where we are. Our country has abandoned God, and we are suffering because of it. If that's how it was in 1988 when Chuck gave that message, even more so today. George Washington says, it is impossible to govern the world without God. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly implore his protection and favor. We're not governing like that today. The church should be the conscience of our community, but I ask, are we? Right? Christians should be the most loving people in the world, and yet they are the most hated, and I have to ask why, but I know why. It's because we love Jesus, and we stand on his word. And we will not be silent about the demonic immorality and lawlessness that is running rampant in this republic of ours and destroying the lives of those we love. Right? Proverbs 31:9 says, open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. If we don't do that, who will? But yet we have some Christians, those in the church, churches specifically, that are weak and scared to speak about what's right. And as I said last Sunday, part of that blame falls on us, falls on the church. Because many churches are silent concerning current events and politics. And in that, that's the way they raise up their church. And if that's the way they raise up their church, well, that's the way the church members raise up their families. So many Christian homes, instead of training up their children by the word of God and addressing current events and politics through the the lens of God's word. They just adopt this philosophy of we don't talk about religion and politics in this home. You know that my kids probably talk more about religion and politics at home and in their school than some of you have in your entire life. They are aware of what's going on, and they are in discussion with it with their friends and kids in school and in the neighborhood. If you're not informing them and teaching them through God's word what's going on, then who is? And if you aren't willing to discuss it yourself, and they're looking up to you as a leader or as someone who's supposed to be leading them, you're making yourself irrelevant. Which isn't where we want to be when it comes to leading our kids. You mix that in with an unhealthy addiction to government-controlled media, where you're led or fed a constant diet of fear-mongering, intimidation, and lies, which is a tactic straight from the father of lies, because the wicked do nothing but traffic in exporting fear, and they do it both physically and spiritually. And you understand why people sometimes are afraid to speak out or talk up, or why people are silent. As we said last week, watchmen, which is what we are, what we should never be silent. Right? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, as it tells us in Ephesians 6. We stand up against this. But here's what I want you to know about the fears and the lies and the fear-mongering and the intimidation. These things are powerless unless you allow them to take effect. What I mean by that is they will take effect if you are not willing to listen to or seek out the truth of God's word, which is exactly what the world wants. They want you not to, right, think for yourself. They want you not to seek out the truth of God's word. They don't want you to do that, which is why they want you to control you with the fear and the intimidation. And I said, I don't know how many weeks ago now it was when I was speaking about this, but I said, thinking is the hardest work some people will ever do, which is why so few people are willing to do it. But we have to. Samuel Adams says, it is in the interest of tyrants to reduce the people to ignorance and vice, for they cannot live in any country where virtue and knowledge prevail. This is what they want. They don't want virtue and knowledge to prevail. How does knowledge prevail for us as believers? Well, we can find it in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. See, knowledge is gained through God's word. And it is God's word that directs my life and the choices I make, which includes how I vote. Right? Because I vote to honor God. And this election, the choice to honor God is clear. It's a life or death choice. Like I said, no gray area. Am I a one-issue voter? No, but yes. I mean, there are many issues at hand. Our nation's sovereignty, which we already signed away. Freedom of religion, free speech. There's all kinds of things at hand. But the one that stands above all the rest is protecting innocent life. The one issue is life. And God's word is clear on this matter. Proverbs 8, 35 to 36. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but he who fails to find me injures himself, because all who hate me love death. Well, we already know where certain people stand on this. When they says, you're in the wrong rally, buddy, go find the one down the street. Jesus is Lord has nothing to do with us. And we have never seen this idea more clearly than how we see it today, not just in our world, but in the platform of the Democratic Party. It's a hatred of God, and it's a love of death. They are a party that purposely stands in complete defiance to God's word. and the way that they view sex and the way that they view gender and the way that they view families and the way that they view marriage and all these things. This disregard for God's word is spread out through much of their platform. It can be seen in their views of all kinds of things, right? In their support of the mutilation and castration of children for the transgender movement. I mean, we could go on, but we're not going to. We're not going to go through every specific list or every specific detail, right? I've been going through these things through my head for over a month now as God has narrowed this down, right? We've come up with all kinds of different ideas. Eddie and I bouncing things back and forth on how to approach it. We were going to do a little game show at one time, right? Normal or abnormal? You pick, right? But it all narrows down to this. Life. And so we're going to touch on how this disregard for human life is shown through just a couple different areas. And they may not even at first seem like, you're like, what? How does that, what does that have to do? But they do. The first area I'm going to start with is open borders. Now you might be thinking to yourself, how does open borders play into this? I mean, you know we have a problem. I don't think anyone's ignorant of that. Hopefully not. The purpose of open borders, real quickly, if you weren't aware of it, is to destabilize a country. That's the purpose of open borders. Right? If you don't have a border, you don't have a country. Even the Bible agrees with that. Right? If you want to look into that in your Bible, I can give you passages to look at. It's a biblical concept. There's a reason that he wanted to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem before he brought the Israels back. There's all kinds of things that you look into. But it's what our current administration currently wants. They want open borders. And open borders is a Marxist idea to dissolve national borders, right? That's a Marxist idea. Dissolving national borders is a Marxist idea because what it does is it transforms and destabilizes society for more global control. But we're not going to focus on that aspect of it. See, under Biden and Harris, there's been more than 10.3 million illegal entries into the United States in the last 3.5 years. Right? With an additional more than 2 million what they call getaways. And getaways or gotaways or whatever they refer to them as, what those are, they represent the number of times someone's been observed crossing over the border illegally, but they didn't apprehend them. Not just that, but under the Biden-Harris administration, over 700,000 illegal aliens have had their cases dismissed, terminated, or administratively closed, and the pace of those actions are increasing every year, means they're closing or canceling or dismissing cases faster and more common every year, and they're allowing these illegals to stay in the country indefinitely without facing immigration consequences, not even for their crimes. They're trying to give amnesty to over 1 million illegal immigrants right now. Some say they've already done it. I don't know. It's going to be done quietly behind, you know, closed doors. You may not know about it, but they'll pass something and do it. So do you know what ICE is? ICE is the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, okay? Listen to these stats that come directly from the Deputy Director of ICE. He released these so you would understand. Because understand, a lot of the people that deal with the border control and immigrants don't support Kamala, because they've gotten no support from Kamala. He's released these numbers. 13,099 murderers, 15,811 rapists, 425,431 convicted criminals. What are those numbers? Those numbers represent illegals that are living in the United States right now. And they don't know where they are. And that's all because of our current administration and their policy. Many of these illegals are not families looking for a new start or whatever. They're gang members. They're cartel members. They're sexual predators. They're violent criminals. Right? That number right there is close to almost 500,000. And so it should be no surprise to us because of the increase of illegals coming across the borders that we've seen a rise in drugs and violence. And we have. And the problem about these numbers is the fact that the FBI purposefully is not updating their numbers until years later, so that they look like things are lower at the time that they bring them out. And then 2 years, they update them. Later, they update them, and oh, it shows actually it was an increase, not a decrease, because they just updated the numbers for 2022. quietly, right? What are the numbers for 2024 going to look like when they actually update them in maybe 2026 if we're around, right? Because they want to look good for the current administration. But there's a rise in crime rates in major metropolitan areas. We have gangs taking over apartment complexes. This is not a conspiracy theory, right? It's in Aurora, Colorado. The management company for these apartment complexes is CBZ Management. And they manage multiple properties in Colorado. And they said that they've lost control of more than one of their apartment complexes due to the members of the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua. And you may have seen this on the news because J.D. Vance was discussing this with a reporter just recently, right? And he brought that up. And she said, wait a minute, we looked into that, right? And it was just a handful of apartment complexes. It's not as bad as you're making it sound. And he goes, oh, excuse me. Does that make it okay? If it was just one apartment complex, is that okay with you? That we're allowing them to be run over by gangs who have come in across the border unchecked? No. Either we have a respect for human life or we don't. Listen, Democrats had a choice to help pass the Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens Act, which was a common sense bill, which means there was no extra fluff added to the bill. You know how they had tack things on the bills? And a lot of reasons some bills get voted down is because they tacked on something on the back of it, which was completely abhorrent, right? Well, this had no extra fluff on it. And the bill was simply to prevent illegal immigrants with a history of sex offenses or domestic violence from entering our country and then deport those that they already were in our country, assuming, of course, that they could catch them. Now, the good thing is that this bill passed. But no thanks to the Democrats, because 158 of them voted against it. Remember that. The majority of the Democratic Party felt it better to let these violent offenders stay in the country. Such consideration for the citizens of our country. If our own administration is not looking out for us, who is? Now, Kamala says she wants to enforce the border. She says that because she knows it's a problem. I pray to God she does. That's assuming she gets elected, which I pray to God she doesn't. But she hasn't done a thing in the last 3.5 years. So what? Why would I take her at her word, right? At the same time that she says she wants to enforce the border, she wants to give amnesty to illegals, and that she also has donated $1.2 million to a group who wants to end all border laws. So that's confusing. It's confusing. What do you mean? Do you or do you not want to do this? Well, it's confusing on purpose, because she is confusing. But her policy is just to say what she thinks you want to hear, but not actually act on any of it. She's a chameleon. But I brought up open borders to say this. Open borders put our children at risk. Right? Fentanyl, one of the major drugs that comes across the border, and the rise in fentanyl overdoses. But not just that, sex trafficking. You see, with all the illegals that have come across our border in the last 3.5 years, there's been at least 300,000 kids who came across the border alone without parents. And they've gone missing and they don't know where they are. And probably, though we can't say for sure, they've fallen into trafficking. Right? Because missing kids are often trafficked. They're sold into prostitution rings, they're used as sex slaves, right? That's 300,000 missing kids. Where are they? Why aren't the lives of these children more important than politics? Why doesn't our administration care? I just saw a report yesterday that says billions of taxpayer dollars are being used by a government contractor down there by the border to do just that, to traffic children. Why are we allowing this to happen? You have to understand this. It was this administration, Biden and Harris specifically, who was instrumental in forging a status quo where migrant children are incentivized to cross the border alone, and many of them, therefore, end up being trafficked and exploited. They've been given the resources to do it. They've been given the map to know how to where to walk and where to go, right? They've been told what waits for them on the other side. We know all the tax dollars that are being spent to help the immigrants, the illegal immigrants, when they cross. They're getting, you know, my family had to wait in line when they immigrated over in 1890 and 1893. They had to keep applying for citizenship. They had to build up businesses and do things by the book, honestly. Well, some of them are honest. And, you know, and following laws to get their citizenship. They just wasn't handed to them. But let me be blunt for these 300,000 missing kids. The blood of those kids is on Kamala's hands. So yes, this election is about life and death. And you need to vote as an innocent child's life depends on it. Because it does. And hopefully you care about that. But now we're going to get into the serious stuff. You're like, what? Wasn't that serious enough? Because the main area where we see this attitude and culture of death within the Democratic Party is their views on abortion. And we saw that at their national convention when they pulled up the abortion truck outside and they did 20-some-odd abortions outside the Democratic National Convention. While they were celebrating joy, that was their phrase for the convention, joy, right? Inside. Now, I know that this is a sensitive and touchy subject, and there's many different things that play into the idea, you know, into abortion. So let you know up front, my view, abortion equals murder. Now, that being said, I want you to also understand that there's a lot of lies that are fed into the idea of abortion, okay? One of the lies is that it is the only choice. So you have these young women who have found themselves with an unexpected pregnancy and don't know what to do, and they're scared, and they go where for help? Well, if they go to Planned Parenthood, they're only going to end up with abortion. But they've been fed a lie, which is that's the only choice. That's the only avenue for them to go. It's Planned Parenthood or nothing. They're too scared to maybe go to their parents. They're too scared to maybe go to their family. They don't know what to do. They end up going to Planned Parenthood. They bought into a lie that says this is your only choice. You have to go to these people. These people will help you. Right? This is healthcare, right, healthcare. These people will help you, but these people have no intention of helping you. The other lie is related to medical emergencies. Listen, over 99% of abortions are done just because they can be done. What I mean is a lot of the abortions are just people who understand specifically what they're doing and why they're doing it. But they would like you to believe, Democrats specifically, and I understand the Republican Party's platform on abortion has shifted as well, and it's not great by any means. It's probably like the Democratic Party's platform like 20 years ago or 40 years ago or something like that. Everything shifted to the left, if you want to use that phrase. I had a friend the other day who said, when I look to the left, I see the Republican Party. And then when I look farther left, almost off the map, I see the Democratic Party. Right, and that is how things have shifted. But they want the Democrats specifically want you to believe that these states with extreme anti-abortion laws, they say, they're just killing women. Right? They want you to believe, I mean, Harris and Waltz want you to believe that women in these states are just running around bleeding out and dying on street corners. That's almost how they phrase it. But it's a lie. There's no truth to support those statements at all. Because there is not a state in this republic of ours that would deny treatment to a pregnant woman who has a medical issue arise with her pregnancy that puts her or her baby's life at risk. There is not one state that will deny her treatment. Not one. Now, whether or not they seek the treatment is another thing entirely. Right? But those stories, those are just lies. Fear and mongering and lies, yet people have bought into them. The latest example, of course, is this poor woman who died of sepsis due to the abortion pill that was provided to her by Planned Parenthood. They want you to think, I think it was Texas, I could be wrong about the state that she lived in, but I think it was Texas. They want you to think that that was Texas's fault because of their abortion laws. But it wasn't, because there's Planned Parenthood. She went to Planned Parenthood. They gave her the abortion pill. She took the abortion pill. She had a reaction to the abortion pill. One of the side effects of the abortion pill, by the way, is sepsis. She caught sepsis. She didn't know, of course, I think, that she had what she had necessarily, but she didn't seek medical help. And then when she decided that maybe she should seek medical help, it was too late. She died. It was tragic. Whose fault is that? I'm not going to blame it on her, but I will blame it on Planned Parenthood. It wasn't Texas's fault. She had help she could go to, but she didn't seek it because she was bought into a lie. And one of the lies that she bought into was that they won't help her. Because that's what the Democratic Party wants you to think. There is no help for you. You just have to abort the baby. There's nothing. The Democratic Party is suing states right now to close pregnancy clinics, honest to God, helpful pregnancy clinics that actually do help women with pregnancies. They're trying to close them. Why? Because they want Planned Parenthood to be the only choice. So when we talk about abortion, let's be clear, over 99% of abortions are just because we can and not at all related to medical emergencies of any kind. You understand, there's also that issue where we talk about a woman being raped and becoming pregnant because of rape. And that's a really tough issue. But let me tell you something about that. And I don't know what your feelings are on this, but babies conceived in rape have the same human rights as you do. Or they should. And I know a lot of people don't think that the child in the womb is human, specifically depending on what week it is. But if they aren't, then why are you harvesting them for parts? But the circumstances, no matter how horrible, doesn't change the human value of the baby. Right? Rape is horrific, absolutely. But that penalty should be taken out on the person who raped her, not on the child. So, when we're talking about things like reproductive rights, well, there's nothing reproductive about abortion. When we're talking, when we refer to, when we even say Planned Parenthood, that's an oxymoron. Because there's no planning of parenthood going on at Planned Parenthood. Listen, here's the thing you need to understand about Planned Parenthood. We watched that documentary here. It was called The 1916 Project. I don't remember how many of you here that watched it with us when we watched it. About the history of the organization and Margaret Sanger, who started it. And for some reason, my quotes on Margaret Sanger disappeared from my notes. But that's okay, because I got them right here. Let me find them here really quick. But Margaret Sanger is evil. She was demonic. It was a eugenics program. It was started specifically in neighborhoods where they could pick on blacks. It was racist. What did you say? And Italians, right. So here's some of the things that Margaret Sanger said. The marriage bed is the most degenerate influence in the social order. And she follows that up with this. The most merciful thing that a large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. Birth control must lead ultimately to a cleaner race. This is her thinking. This is what she started Planned Parenthood on. This is the ideology of Planned Parenthood. What has Planned Parenthood become today? Because they've done a really good job of trying to separate themselves from Margaret Sanger, even though they adore her. And they haven't really separated themselves at all from her ideology. They just want you to think they have, so that they don't connect it to this woman who caught the eye of Hitler. Right? Planned Parenthood today is one of the best-funded, most profitable nonprofit organizations in history, sad to say. And it is the only nonprofit I know of that makes us living through the murder of children. It's a billion-dollar business. They receive almost $700 million in taxpayer funding every year. That's 34% of their income, supported mainly by the Democratic Party through government grants and contracts. And they're also making money off of baby parts. See, the reason they want to funnel the women to Planned Parenthood is that Planned Parenthood donates to the Democratic Party and donates and supports Democratic politicians who support them. And the Democratic Party, in turn, supports Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood's making money off the women when they come into their pregnancy center, buy the abortion, and then breaking up the baby and selling it for parts. It's purely greed. It's purely demonic. There's no other way to phrase it. It's demonic. There isn't any other word for it. If you think there's another word for it that has nothing to do with, you know, being demonic, I don't know, we might be ignorant about what Planned Parenthood does. In the last 3 years, it's been over 1 million babies. Again, those numbers are hard to even come up with. A lot of that, because they used to keep really good track of those things, and now they don't keep track of those things anymore. Right? Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the United States. It's the second largest provider of chemically castrating drugs called puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for our gender-confused youth. Because when Trump was president, he started cutting funding for Planned Parenthood, and a lot of Planned Parenthood started running into problems, and some of them had to close. They looked for another revenue stream, because if they couldn't murder babies and make money, they needed to find some other way to make money, so they started picking on the transgender youth. And now that's their second. Right now, they are the second largest provider of these drugs for our gender-confused youth. If you do the math, what does that mean? It means they're coming for your children in the womb and out of the womb. It's modern-day child sacrifice. And it all has to do with greed. Leviticus 18:21 says this, "You shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." It is. It's what it is. It's demonic. There's been some debate when Trump and Kamala were having their debate. He talked about states that allow abortion after birth, and she said, "No states do that. No states. You're lying. It's not a true thing." But yet there are 8 states in the United States that allow abortion after birth. And 11 states are trying to make it law right now. Minnesota has such a law. Who comes from Minnesota? Oh, Governor Waltz. Governor Waltz is who? On the ticket for the vice president? In 2023, they murdered 8 babies after failed abortions. And then he realized that they were keeping track of these records, and he changed the law in 2024, so no longer would be keep track of it. Let me tell you, what is done in the dark will come to light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Luke 18:8-17. Listen, there was something called the Born Alive Abortion Providers Protection Act. Kamala voted against it. This would have provided comfort and health protection for babies born alive during an abortion. We have 10 states right now with the most pro-life laws ever, right? And those protections for the unborn and for the innocent will go away under the demonic ideology of Kamala if she wins the election. Pregnancy centers will be under assault and be closed. Honest to God, true pregnancy centers. They're already trying to do it, as I said. And if you protest any of this, you too will probably come under some sort of illegal assault. What's happening over Europe right now should concern you, right? Coming soon to a country near you, right? They're arresting people just because they simply disagree on a social media post over matters like abortion or immigration. And they are being arrested and put in jail. Sentenced to jail time. That's not a free country, is it? Not the last time I checked. It's a democratic country that doesn't seem to be free. It's a tyrannical country. It's tyranny, right? was it Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin or whoever said it, whoever the quote's attributed to? Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Do you know that they were going to make that our nation's motto, but they ended up changing their mind? I think they should have kept it, but that's just me. There are abortion laws in Scotland right now that criminalize prayer, even silent prayer. If they think you're standing within 650 feet of an abortion clinic and you're silently praying against it, they can come and arrest you. I don't know how they know what you're doing, but they've come to the idea that if you're within 650 feet of an abortion clinic, they're going to arrest you. Matter of fact, it doesn't even stop them from coming into your house. If your house was within 650 feet of an abortion clinic and they think that you're praying against abortion, that you have anti-abortion views, they can come into your house and arrest you. That law took effect last month in Scotland. Like I said, coming soon to a country near you, you should be paying attention to these things. You know that there's not a single fetal or maternal condition that requires third trimester abortion. Delivery, yes. Abortion, no. However, under Kamala's plan, a woman may not have a choice. I don't know if you heard her the other day. They asked her about religious exemption on abortions. Now, at first, I couldn't understand exactly what they're talking about. Religious exemption on abortions? What you're saying is that somehow abortions are going to be forced on people, and we want to opt out of it. We say, no, I don't agree with that. And you're not going to have a choice? I don't know how that can happen. My mind cannot comprehend what they're trying to say. What do you mean religious exemptions on abortion? How is a woman going to be in a position where she's where they're going to force an abortion on her? But all I had to do was think about it for a little bit. China, but that's... How about this? Couple things. If you have a medical complication while pregnant, and the doctor says, well, we think abortion's the only choice, but you say no, delivery. We can deliver the child and pray. Delivery is an option. They're going to say, no, sorry, delivery is not an option. You have no choice. It's just abortion. That's the only choice. You won't be able to opt out of that type of scenario. Now, that's one scenario I can think of. Another scenario I could think of is if you have an ultrasound and you're pregnant and the doctor sees some sort of genetic issue with the child and the doctor says, you may not want to have this baby. Not sure you want to raise this baby with this genetic problem. And you're like, yes, absolutely, we do. They may say, no, sorry, you don't have a choice. You can't opt out. We're going to abort it. That's what she's saying. You won't have a choice. If you're pregnant, and for whatever reason, they say you have to abort that child, you're not going to be able to get out of it. That's what she's saying. They're all about choice, right? It's your body, your choice, unless, of course, your choice doesn't fall in line with the choice they want you to make. It's this false illusion of democracy. Here, pick a card, any card. So the question is, are you going to help protect the innocent children? Or are you just going to leave them to the wolves? Let me read you 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. This is my illustration of the worldview on children versus a godly view. It says in verse 16, this is King Solomon, by the way. Okay? It says, then two prostitutes came to the king and they stood before him. And the one woman said, oh, my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth. And we were alone. And there was no one else with us in the house. Only we two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she accidentally smothered the child. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept and laid him at her breast and laid her dead son at my breast. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born. But the other woman said, no, the living child is mine and the dead child is yours. And the first said, no, the dead child is yours and the living child is mine. Thus they spoke before the king. And then the king said, the one says, this is my son that is alive and your son is dead. And the other says, no, but your son is dead and my son is the living one. And the king said, bring me a sword. And so a sword was brought before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. And then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means put him to death. But the other one said, he shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him. Then the king answered and said, give the living child to the first woman. By no means put him to death. She is his mother. This is the world's view on the life of a child. They have no problem with dividing the child in half. None. They look at it and say, hey, he's not going to be mine or yours. Let's just cut him in half and I'll be fine with that. I'm good with it. That'll satisfy me. It'll all be even then, right? No. No, it won't. Thankfully, we have God. Solomon stands in this place. He has the wisdom of God here in this matter. He knew exactly who the true mother was. The one who was willing to sacrifice the life of her child by giving him away. No, let her keep him. Don't kill him. It'll be better for the child. Don't put him to death. Give her the living child. The one who is for life. And that's where we are. Because we stand for life. Proverbs 28:5 says, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. Do you understand it completely? Thankfully, God understands it. And God hates those who shed innocent blood. Proverbs 6:16-19 says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brothers. God hates those who shed innocent blood. Listen, God is in the womb from conception. Life begins at conception. Nothing grows that isn't living. He has created us in his image. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:13-14 says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. God's for life. Not only that, God has given the preborn legal rights. We can see that in Exodus. Exodus 21:22-25, God says this, when men strive together and hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if there is harm to a woman who is pregnant and her child comes out if she gets hit, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. These murders are not overlooked. Jesus is returning. Judgment is coming. Payment will be made. Here's the simple truth, and for some of you, it might be an inconvenient truth, but this is the truth regardless. The Republicans' platform equals less babies being murdered. The Democrats' platform equals more babies being murdered, right? You need to vote as an innocent life depends on it, because it does. We need to defend the defenseless. Our government won't do this, right? They don't do this because they don't care. Right, Isaiah 1:23 says, your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They don't bring justice to the fatherless, and the widow's cause does not come to them. That could describe almost every politician. But Psalm 68:5 says, father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. It's in contrast to that. They don't bring justice to the fatherless or the widow, but God does. And so it should be for us, right? Protectors. This isn't about, as I said last week, this isn't about right or left. This is about up and down. Our salvation's only found in Christ Jesus, not in politics or politicians. So we have to honor Jesus. We have to stand for Jesus. We have to stand for life. When Jesus returns, is he going to find you asleep or is he going to find you awake? Right? Is he going to find you talking the talk but not walking the walk? Or is he going to find you being a good steward of what he has given you? Are you occupying until he returns? We are to be watchmen standing in the gap with trowel and sword, never being silent and contending for the faith. You're to be responsible for the gifts and the times and the opportunities that God has given you. What are you doing with them? Are you honoring and giving glory to God with those gifts, right? With your words and your actions? James 4 says this. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, what you ought to say is this. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And then he finishes up with this. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. It's sin. And what that's referring to is your stewardship. Right? So you have this stewardship of a nation. And the stewardship of a nation comes down to the responsibility of the Christians that when they vote for the platform that most aligns to the truth of God's word. So don't fill your head with CNN or MSNBC or C-SPAN or whatever local government bot news channel you worship. Fill it with the Bible. Fill it with God's word. Take every thought captive. Seek the things that are above, because there is no way for us to honor God by supporting such a demonic culture of death, because God makes life. God gives life. But it's Satan who destroys it. So fear God, trust God, honor God, obey God. I'm going to end with this verse, Isaiah 33, verses 15 to 16. Says, he who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, who despises the gain of oppressions, who shakes his hands lest they hold a bribe, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking on evil, which just means that he's not partaking in those things, he will dwell on the heights. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. His bread will be given him. His water will be sure. Fear God, trust God, honor God, obey God. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this word. And Lord, I pray you just speak this to us and that your spirit continue to help us work this out in our lives. And that we be example, Lord, that we are a light. See, I started this talking about that the fact that we are to be salt and light. We don't want to be thrown out because we're worthless. So we need to be salt and light. We don't want to hide our light. We don't want our salt to not be doing its job. We need to be both. We need to stand on God's word and for God's word. And people need to see that. We need not to be silent. We need to speak up. And I pray, Lord, that you will just continue to raise us up and draw us closer to you, that we can be emboldened by your word and by your spirit to do just that. Thank you for your word. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.